message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Let's go ahead and I want to share with you a particular verse here in just a little bit that I really like. We'll get to that in just a minute. But I'm sure, like me, a lot of you have been glued to the television or watching it maybe more than usual with all the news that's going on. And you know, there's two words that I've been seeing pop up on that TV quite often. Breaking news. Breaking news. And, you know, breaking news can be good news, and it can be bad news. And this week, most all of the breaking news has been bad news. And I want to title the message, Breaking News. We're going to use that as a title. Heartbreaking news. We're talking about news that breaks you. The reports you hear that break you down, that break the economy. News that breaks things, especially people. So breaking news will be the title. I want to go to Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. And this will be the extent of the PowerPoint right here. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. One more time. Why don't you read it with me? The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. You did pretty good. One more time, a little better. Here we go. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Father God, we thank you for your word. And I pray that you help me to communicate, teach, preach, share your word in a way that glorifies you and helps us all. Let your anointing be there. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So those are the three points of today's service. They're up there on the screen for you. So the first one is this. The Lord is good. Point number one, the Lord is good. God is good. God is good. See, bad events, bad news, doesn't make God bad. A bad report doesn't make God bad. When things don't work out the way we wanted them to, and the way we wanted them to work out would have been good, but it didn't work out that way, it went bad, that doesn't make God bad. God is good regardless of what kind of news is on the TV. God is good regardless of what kind of stuff that's going on in your life, what kind of situation you face. You know, you just need to settle that in your heart. Well, I don't quite understand it. I get that. But just settle it that God is good. There's a tendency for many to declare God's goodness when things are good. We declare God is good when things work out. We declare God is good when we get the good report. When we get the phone call that says, hey, this just happened, made a turn for the better. But I want you to know that when the phone call's not good, when things turn for the worse, it doesn't change who God is. God is good. And this is going to be challenged. It's going to be challenged by life. It's going to be challenged. There's an enemy out there that will challenge it. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve in the garden. The serpent and Eve have a conversation, and he asks her, has God really said? No, he hasn't said. God is holding something good for you. There's an enemy out there that will challenge God's goodness in your mind, in your heart, in your life. Your flesh and the stuff you go through will also want to challenge it, and you just need to settle it that God is good. Amen. See, there is an enemy out there, and the Bible gives us his mission statement. His mission statement is simply this. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. So when you see steal, kill, and destroy go on, you know who did it. It was the enemy. The next verse says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So there's a mission statement for Jesus. So we got the mission statement of the enemy. We got the mission statement of the Lord. And then when bad happens, it should be, it's over here. But see, there's something in our mind that thinks, well, but God loves me and God can do all things and I belong to him. So it should be over here. And we talked about some of that, well, not last week, 2 weeks ago when I was here. You just have to settle it and just know that God is good and you don't know everything. You're not going to be able to figure it out. In creation, God said often, he made this and he stepped back and he said, that is good. He made this and he stepped back, it is good. And then in verse 31, at the last of it, he at the completion of the final day, day six, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Everything was very good, and then sin came into the world. And we live in a broken world, full of broken people, and because of that, the enemy does win some victories. He does come out on top in some things. But the ultimate battle belongs to the Lord, and he is still on the throne. He is still in control, and God is still good. I've said this many times. The cross is proof enough that God is good. Because whether you can figure it all out down here or not, what you need to know is that there's a bigger picture called eternity, and the cross is your ticket to go live forever in utopia. In a perfect place where there is no more bad happening. There is no more sin. There is no more pain. There is no more sorrow. No more tears. And that's going to be a great day. Until then, we live in a broken place. And God is still good. He gave us a way out. Regardless of the evil in the world, God is good. Regardless of what you see on the news, God is good. Regardless of the horrors of war, God is good. Would you say that with me one time? God is good. Second point. The Lord is a stronghold in the day of trouble. Notice that verse. The Lord is good, comma, a stronghold in what? The day of trouble. So even though the Lord is good, there's still going to be days of trouble. Somewhere in our mind, we've got it because the Lord is good, I won't have any trouble. Listen, if you don't know the Lord, and maybe today you decide I'm going to explore a little bit, but I'm going to make a commitment today, and next week you go to another church. I got to put you in another church because this preacher ain't going to say it. But maybe some preacher will say, hey, if you'll accept the Lord, you'll have no more trouble. That ain't the truth. The Lord is good, and you're still going to have days of trouble, but the good thing is that the Lord is a stronghold in that day of trouble. See, God's goodness doesn't remove all trouble, but God's goodness will help you through trouble. Amen. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this to his disciples, in this world you will have trouble. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, maybe the original Greek language brings more insight and revelation to that. No, I looked that up. And what it means is in this world, you will have trouble. I broke it down, and that's what it came out to. He goes on to say this, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Some translations will say this, in this world, you will have trials and sorrows. When you go to the King James, the old King James, it uses the word tribulation. In this world, you will have tribulation. And you look that word tribulation, and the Strong's Concordance gives you the original meaning of the original language, the word. It means pressure. Now, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? How many of y'all been to the dentist, and he says, you're going to feel a little pressure here? And then there's a little note by that word pressure. And it lets you know that it comes from the root of another word. So I went and looked what that other word was, and yet the other word means crowd. Have you ever been in a crowd? And as the crowd gets thicker, the pressure gets stronger. You know, not too long ago at a concert, people died in a crowd. Trials, sorrow, tribulation puts pressure on us in this life. Jesus is saying, in this world, you're going to face some stuff and it's going to put pressure on you. And don't underestimate the word pressure. People are under anxiety because of pressure. People are in depression because of pressure, financial pressure, relationship pressure. It all adds up to trouble, trials, and sorrows. Jesus said this. I didn't read this part of the verse. That was the second part of verse 33. But if you go read the first part, Jesus says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now let's put that together. In me you may have peace, but in this world you're going to have trouble. In Jesus, you find peace. In the world, you find trouble. How many want to be in Jesus? But it's not an either or. You're either in the world with trouble, or you're in Jesus with peace while you're in the world with trouble. You follow? See, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. And in this world, we're going to have trouble. But because we're in Jesus, we can have peace while we're having and going through trouble. In this world, you're going to have trouble. I did something a little different. For the last week, maybe 8 or 9 days, I went and grabbed headlines from news articles. I'm not going to read a bunch of articles to you, but I'm going to read a list of headlines. This is stuff that has gone on in this world of trouble in the last week. These are actual headlines. Copy paste, all right? Girl gives teacher note about her mom's boyfriend, then the body of her 4-year-old brother was found in a freezer a day later. That happened this past week. Hidden camera catches teacher saying conservative Christians need to get COVID and die. John Kerry's response to Ukraine invasion was this: I hope President Putin will help us stay on track with respect to what we need to do for the climate. I do really want to commentate on every one of these, but I can't. Canadian trucker beaten by police during freedom convoy says this: cops broke my body a little bit, but not my spirit. 5 people found dead in Denver apartment with a 4-month-old baby. DA says they died of fentanyl overdose. White Democratic state rep actually uses N-word multiple times in confrontation with a black activist. Modeling agent and Jeffrey Epstein associate Jean Brunel found dead in prison, reportedly by suicide. Man charged with brutal stabbing murder of a 4-year-old found incompetent to stand trial. Transgender swimmer continues domination at Ivy League championships, winning 200 freestyle by more than 2 seconds. Video allegedly shows public high school teacher forcibly removing student from classroom for not wearing mask. Top Democrat caught at a drunken slumber party with middle school girls. They were horrified at what she did and what she said. She verbally abused them, and then she threw up in a laundry basket. That's one of our leaders. How prominent public health agencies are skewing vaccine effectiveness statistics in the United States. Canadian police vow to identify Freedom Convoy protesters and issue financial sanctions and criminal charges, freezing their bank accounts. 4-year-old boy assaulted in Times Square. Trucker protests in Ottawa escalates as police clash with Freedom Convoy demonstrators, 150 arrested. The CDC finally admits what we've known all along about COVID-19. A man killed someone who broke into his home. Now he's reportedly being investigated for murder. Mandatory bicycle helmet law revoked in Seattle for racial equity. Crime in New York's transit system is up by 70% this year. Muggings, beatings, and murders are becoming increasingly common in New York City's subway stations. Putin declares military invasion of Ukraine. And there's more, but I'll stop there. That's all going on this past week. What's going to happen this next week? More of the same. We live in a world full of trouble. We live in a world that is broken and spiraling out of control. The headlines are not getting any better. 2 years ago, it was COVID-19. Then it was lockdown and pandemic. Then it was economy crashes and businesses going out of business. 21 comes around, we thought it'd get better, it only got worse. Now it's 22, we're still dealing with that, but we don't hear as much about it right now because something else has taken the number one spot on the news program. And that is the invasion of Ukraine. So again, these are all from this past week. Here are the issues in the headlines that I just read. Here are the issues that I just touched on. Border issues here in Canada, the virus issues, the pandemic, the mask, vaccination, racial tension, drugs, mental health issues, terrorism, sexual identity, division, problems in schools, corruption in leadership and government, and oh yeah, war. That's what we're dealing with. That's what you're carrying. See, you carry more than you know. And that's stuff everywhere. That's not your stuff. You got your stuff that you're carrying. Listen, I can tell you right now, Sharon Phillips deals with all of this just like us. But right now, she's not even concerned about any of this. She just lost a brother. Strada Crawford's main focus is in all this right now. But we got our own individual stuff that we also have to carry. The personal trials and sorrows that you face. I want to share a story with you. This happened in, I'm going to say, about 1984. And I don't know that it will have the same effect on you as it did me that day. But I was in the Brazos Fort College taking classes there. I'd already graduated at the two-year school and gotten an associate's degree and went to work for Dow. And then I retired and took my package after 2 years. Just to let you know, it's a pretty small package when you've only been there 2 years. What had happened is that I'd gotten saved. And all of a sudden, my heart's been rocked, and all of a sudden, desires and everything's shifting and changing, or I'm just really starting to realize that they were there all the time. But anyway, it's like, I got to go back to school. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm getting out of Dow. I'm going back to school. So I retired, and went back to school and did another 2 years at the Brazos Fort College, which gives me 4 years at the two-year school. And one day, I'm driving up that morning to class. Now, KSBJ, I got saved in 82. About 3 months later, KSBJ came on the radio for the first time. KSBJ was birthed in 82 as well. And I'm listening to KSBJ, and I am so grateful for KSBJ. Because when I gave my heart to the Lord, I was so concerned it was going to be hymns and nothing else. And so I'm listening to KSBJ. It's my habit now. And as I pull into the parking lot, you know, I've got 10 minutes or so to get to class. They play a song. I don't know that I'd ever heard it. If I did, I didn't remember. And it was Ann Murray. Now, it wasn't their habit to play non-Christian artists. Now, I think Ann Murray is a Christian, but she wasn't a Christian artist. And so it wasn't their habit to play non-Christian artists, but they played the song, A Little Good News. Some of y'all know that song, right? Probably most of you know that song. And then right after that, they played, without any comments, they played another song by a group called GLAD. GLAD is four men who are known for their vocal harmony. Beautiful. And they played that song. And whenever they did that back-to-back song, I was just broken. The words, the music, the message, just, I had to be late to class. Because I had to pull myself together. I was also grateful for what I had. The Ann Murray song came out in 1983. The GLAD song came out in 1982, so it actually came out first. So this morning, I'm going to play the Ann Murray song for you. And I'm going to play the first part of the GLAD song for you. Let me give you just a few of the lyrics of the Ann Murray song, not all of it. How many of y'all have heard the song, A Little Good News? Maybe it's been a long time for you, but you've heard it. The lyrics in that song, some of them are this: one more sad story is one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headlines say, not much to print today, can't find nothing bad to say. Because nobody robbed the liquor store in the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd. Nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger. Nobody had to die in vain. We could sure use a little good news today. I want to hear the anchorman talk about a county fair and how we cleaned up the air and how everybody has learned to care. And everybody loves everybody in the good old USA. We sure could use a little good news today. That song ended, and right after, this song that you'll hear in a minute came on, written about that same time, just a year earlier. And the first line of the song was, "Did you hear the good news?" You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide. There will be love and laughter when you finally give in. And the celebration is waiting to begin. And I broke because, number one, just the plight of the world back then. And it's worse now. And the brokenness of humanity and the desire to see people know what I've only known for a little over a year at this point in my life. But also broken just because so glad and grateful that in fact I did hear the good news. And I'm not talking about I went to church and heard a preacher. I'm talking about there was a revelation, something came alive on me, and I heard the good news. And all of a sudden, I knew who Jesus was. A lot of people go to church their whole life and never really hear the good news. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You can hear with these things right here and never be changed. But when you hear down here, it rocks your world. Good news. See, there's a lot of breaking news, a lot of heartbreaking news, but there is still some good news. Jesus is still alive, and Jesus is still in control, and Jesus is coming back. And that's the good news. The word gospel basically means good news. Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard the good news? And that is, you're lost in your sin, but don't stop there. You can get out because Jesus died for your sin and made a way for you. That's the good news. Did you hear the good news? So I'm going to play the first song in its entirety in the beginning of the second song, and then we'll come back to the third and final point.
I rolled out this morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Brian Campbell was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's gonna get worse, you see. You need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band. One more sad story's one more than I can stand. Just once, how I'd like to see the headline say, not much to print today, can't find nothing better to say. Because nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. A little good news today. I'll come home this evening, I bet that the news will be the same. Somebody takes a hostage, somebody steals a plane. How I want to hear the anchor man talk about a county fair and how we cleaned up the air, how everybody learned to care. Oh, tell me, nobody was assassinated in the whole third world today. And in the streets of Ireland, all the children had to do was play. We sure could use a little good news today. Nobody robbed a liquor store on the lower part of town. Nobody OD'd, nobody burned a single building down. Nobody fired a shot in anger, nobody had to die in vain. We sure could use a little good.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide. There'll be love and laughter when you finally give in. And the celebration's waiting to begin.
Time the second one was ending, I was already broken, just weeping for the condition of our nation, weeping out of gratitude that there is a better day in front of us. That was almost about 38, 39 years ago that I had that experience. I still remember it, just fresh in Jesus. A lot of time's gone by since then. A lot of things have happened good, and a lot of things have happened bad. The good old USA is sick. The good old USA is broken and needs healing. The good old USA needs a revival. The third point, the Lord knows those who trust in Him. When I was here the last time, 2 weeks ago, the text was Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not onto your own understanding. And we gave you that in a different translation, the Message, which it says, trust in the Lord and don't try to figure out everything. We're not going to be able to figure it all out. Whenever you go through trials, whenever you go through pain, when you go through a hard time and it doesn't make sense and you can't figure it out, I mean, people dying at an old age, there's a little bit of sense in that. People get old and all that, but when people die at a young age, when four-year-olds get stabbed in Times Square, some of the headlines that I read, it doesn't make sense. It's a broken world with broken people, sin, and an enemy. But whenever you face something like this, and I've said this in many messages, you have two options. And the book of Job gives us both options. We know, most of you know what Job faced. The loss of property, which was bad, but not near as bad as the loss of kids. And he faced that as well. But Job's wife is seldom mentioned. She went through everything that he went through. It wasn't just his kids. It was her kids. And bitterness and anger and frustration, she told her husband, why don't you just curse God, hate God, and die? And Job's response was, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Mike Hammond's little thought as I read that is, I wish he would slay me. Some of you have been in situations that you just assume somebody take you out and you could just be done. Whenever we face these things, you can turn from God or you can turn to God. You can do like Job's wife and hate on God, or you can do like Job and trust God even though you can't figure it all out. That's our options. One more headline that I didn't read earlier. And we're going to have some prayer time here in just a little bit. And I'm going to ask you to fill these steps and these altars. And some of you will turn at your chairs there. And we're going to take a good 6 to 8 minutes or so and just pray for the nation of Ukraine. And I think maybe we ought to pray for the good old USA as well. But the headline said this. This was very recent. U.S. offers to evacuate Ukrainian President Zelensky. He declines and says, I need ammunition, not a ride. The president of Ukraine can get out. He's been offered more than one opportunity to get out. His response is, I need ammunition, not a ride. Now, I turned the news on, which I normally don't do on Sunday mornings. I turned it on and muted it and just read headlines because I'm wanting to be current with what I share with you. But as far as I know, he still lives. But do you understand that he will not live long if Russia continues this invasion? In all likeliness, they will. I understand, and I don't want to sit here and give you the news. You're watching the news. And there has been a surprising resolve in the Ukrainian people. Do you know they're not letting people from 18 to 60 leave? If you're under 18 or over 60, you can leave. But if you're in that range of Ukraine, you stay there. You stay there and you are recruited and they give you the weapons that you need. And the Ukrainian people are fighting against a country that invaded them, an unprovoked attack. President Zelensky, I don't know anything about him as far as this relationship with the Lord. I don't know that we agree on all policy issues and doctrine and things like that. Church, do you know when we say love God, love people, do your part? You know when we say love people, you know we're talking about all people, don't you? The Russian forces at the time of this article were roughly 20 miles from the heart of Kyiv, the capital city. That was Saturday morning, yesterday. President Zelensky used to be an actor and a comedian. Now he's the president of Ukraine. He's 44 years old. He's been married almost 20 years. He has a daughter who is 17. He has a son who is 9. When he said, "I don't need a way out, I don't need a ride, I need ammunition," he knew exactly what he was saying, and that he's putting his life on the line, and that he may never see that wife, that daughter, and that son again. I'd like to pray for President Zelensky this morning. Now, there's been a lot of clips, and I'm going to show you a couple of them. And some of you may have seen these. They're both less than a minute long. Let me just tell you something about social media. There's a lot of bad about social media. These devices, phones, iPads, tablets, computers, screens, pretty much it's a screen generation, right? And there's a lot of bad with these devices, but there's also some good. And then this right here, what I'm about to share you, is maybe a little bit of mixed baggage. A lot of you men and women have served our armed forces, and for that we are very grateful. We've always loved our country here at this church. We've always tried to honor our vets and those that have fought to defend freedom. And, you know, it's not July the 4th, it's not Memorial Day, but can I just say right now that we thank you and we honor you again right now. Thank you for your service. And some have fought in the heat of battle and been on the front lines, and you've seen things that you've never wanted to see. You've seen things that you can't unsee. The average right now is at 22 soldiers a day in their life because of the drama and what they've seen. I said drama, I meant trauma. PTSD is real, not just with soldiers. And let me say this as well, and I'm not trying to make a wisecrack here or a lighthearted moment, but like the generation behind me, the couple of generations back, are known as snowflakes, a soft generation, and we're speaking in general terms. We're not calling everybody that, but there is a truth that as it goes on, we get softer as we go. Listen, I'm softer than the generations in front of me. Sometimes I'm working on my lesson, or my sermon, or preparing Wednesday night, and I got a latte to the side. Now, I've got some convictions and some strength, but I may not be as tough as those in front of me, and those behind us aren't as tough as now. And I'm telling you, there have been some tough men and tough women that have not been able to bear up under what they experienced and what they saw. And they've taken their life as a result. Now, back to social media. That phone that you have, it's everything's real time. As soon as it happens, we all know it. We don't have to wait for the 10 o'clock news. We don't have to wait a couple of days for the news to travel across the globe to finally get to our nation. If it happens in Ukraine, we know it within minutes. We know it. Now, think about those that have gone through things and have suffered hard things and it has messed them up, and those that don't take their life struggle often with a lot of emotional difficulties and challenges. Now go back to the generation who's behind us, and maybe they're not going to war, but they're experiencing war right there on their phone. See, some of you have been in a field and have heard gunfire over your head. You've heard the choppers fly by as they were going to their destination because you were on the battlefield. I can hear that now in my living room. I heard it in my living room. I heard it on the TV as I watched almost real time choppers coming in and gunfire and explosion. I'm experiencing it almost like a virtual reality, right? So how many young people are going to deal with trauma just because of going through it through a device? I say all that to say that you've seen firsthand on your phone some of the things that soldiers are experiencing close. And that's not the same. I'm not trying to make it the same. I'm just telling you, it's different than it was 30 years ago. And one of the clips that I'm going to show you, this first clip, is a family, and they're in their house around the table, and they're singing a hymn. They're singing in their language, so you're not going to understand it, but it's a hymn called "He Will Hold Me Fast." And I told you that this social media, there's good, there's bad, and there's a mixed bag. See, this is the good part. I get to experience the gunfire and the negative side of things because of my device. But then also I get to experience what this family is experiencing. And here's why it's good. Because sometimes we say, pray for the people of Ukraine. And we pray for 23 seconds. God, would you bless the people of Ukraine? God, would you help them? And then we go to lunch. And listen, I'm going to eat lunch today. But I'm just saying, sometimes we don't pray as deep or as long because we're not connected. There's a gap between me and people in Ukraine. There's a distance barrier. I'm a lot more concerned about my kids in my house than I am the kids over there. And I don't think that's necessarily wrong. I mean, we've got our own backyard and our own families and things like that. But when you see this family around the table, it's a lot easier to identify now with the people of Ukraine. Because you're going to see the people of Ukraine. See, and this isn't you. This is them. It wasn't you last night sleeping out in the cold hoping to get on the next bus out. It was them. And I'm just telling you, we need to be more connected to them. Love God, love people. And so that device can be used for good. It can be used to connect you with people who are far away from you. Sometimes the gap, the distance gap, the lack of relationship gap is somewhat of a buffer. It's an insulator. And so we don't feel because there's just too much insulation between us and them. But then the device brings it really close. And we begin to feel a little bit more. Put that first one on. This is a family singing, "People Hold Me Fast." That would be one thing if it was just a weekly home group study at somebody's house and they're singing before they get into the Word, but it's not that. They're singing that knowing what's going on right outside their doors. They're singing that knowing what's happening right over their heads, knowing the potential of what could happen to them. Let me give you just the chorus in one of the stanzas of this song. These are our Christian brothers and sisters, church. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me so, he will hold me fast. For my life he bled and died, Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied, he will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life, he will hold me fast, till our faith is turned to sight when he comes at last. He will hold me fast, he will hold me fast, for my Savior loves me, he will hold me fast. You know, whatever you're facing, world trials, personal trials, that's the truth. God will hold you fast. This next clip is a Ukrainian dad. Again, you won't understand the language, but you'll understand the message. His wife and his daughter are loading a bus to leave as he stays to defend his country. Church, I don't play these to bring guilt. I just want us to really be connected when we pray. That dad's a dad just like me. I'm sure he was trying to be strong for his little girl. But then it got the best of him. As it goes through his mind that this may be a strong chance, it will be the last time he sees her. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Good words. Grateful for those words. Sometimes hard to hang on to those words, isn't it? I'd like us to pray, not just for Ukraine. See, we do the same with John 3:16, for God so loved the world. But listen, for God so loved Mike Hammonds. God so loved Paul. God so loved you. And so we're going to pray for Ukraine. But you know what? Let's pray for President Zelensky. Let's pray for his wife. Let's pray for his daughter, his son. Let's pray for, I don't know their names around that table, but let's pray for that family and let them represent the other families of those who know Jesus, just like us, and whose lives are in danger because of some tyrant. Let's pray for those families. Let's pray for that dad. You know what? I'd like to see that dad come back and see his little girl again. I want you to stand up with me.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.